Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, Jason Ophir, here with my co-host, Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, how's it going?
It's wonderfully cold outside.
Ooh. How cold is it?
Yes. It is 18 degrees.
That is pretty dang cold.
Yeah. For Kentucky, that is pretty cold.
Well, it's not so cold out here in the Northwest. It's probably in the 50s, but I don't mind. I actually like the cold. You know what really gets to me is when it's really hot. I can't deal with really hot weather. I hate it.
Oh, well, then don't come to Kentucky during the summer. Now, see, isn't tonight supposed to be the lunar eclipse?
I don't know.
You know, it is.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking that the sky was going to be cloudy here and we wouldn't be able to see it. I'm thinking it's supposed to start about 11:42 Eastern time.
I'm totally out of tune with any of the celestial events. I probably should be more in tune. But yeah, if there's an eclipse, that'd be pretty cool. You know, when we had that big one not too long ago, it was, I don't know, a year ago, whatever, where it was like a full-on, I don't even know the terminology. I don't know. I think it was the full-on solar eclipse. I didn't even get out of bed to go outside to check it out. Like, I just slept right through it. I mean, this is the level of laziness that plagues me. It's terrible.
That is sad. Honey,
I know.
It was absolutely beautiful.
And I'd probably be
My husband couldn't understand why people would drive hundreds of miles to see something like that until he got to see it, and he was like, wow, I think we'll drive to Missouri next year to go see, or the next time that it happens. But I think that's where it's supposed to be in totality.
I remember there was a lot of craziness of people traveling to different places in the state of Oregon to get a better view of it. And, I mean, in hindsight, I wish I wasn't so lazy and I got to look at it. I know that's a pretty rare event, but maybe next time. I don't even know if I'll be alive next time. I don't even know when the next one's supposed to happen. Probably not in my lifetime.
I don't know, but, yeah, maybe we can fly you somewhere to the next country that it's supposed to happen? Would you be game for that?
Well, incidentally, I don't like to fly, and I avoid it like the plague. You know, have you ever seen somebody that's 6'2", 240 pounds, have a panic attack on an airplane? It's not pretty.
No. That would be awful.
The funny thing about the flying thing is I'm no stranger to flying. I've flown overseas, and I was a private investigator for a while, and I was on an airplane like every week, and I got so burned out. And then one day I just had a panic attack, and then because I had a panic attack on an airplane, then every time I was on an airplane, I'd trigger myself to have a panic attack. It's a nightmare.
Oh, that is pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a mess.
They make pills for that, though. You know, you can take pills to chill yourself out.
Give me a couple beers and a few milligrams of Xanax, and I'll be just fine.
There you go. See, we've got your problems all solved.
Well, I see that Paranormal Horizons' other co-host is on hold, so I'm going to bring Sherry Pang on right now, and that'll be the three of us.
Wonderful.
Sherry.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
So what you guys been up to?
No, I haven't been doing much. I'm lazy. How about you, Maria?
Yeah, we're talking about Jason's laziness and his panic attacks.
Totally paranormal.
You know,
yeah,
it's panic attacks, they're real. When you have them, they feel like there's nothing you can do, huh?
Yeah, it's like the weird thing with, at least for me, with flying is it would happen when they close the door. You know, sometimes the air gets warm or weird when they close the door. Maybe it's the pressurization, whatever. I'm fine the whole flight. It's just that when they close the door for a few minutes. But the rest of the flight, I'm totally fine.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm a weirdo. Do you get that way, Maria?
Yeah, that problem, Maria?
My thing is being locked up in a tin can that you can't get out of when all hell breaks loose. I don't know if you want to call that being claustrophobic, but I'm good. If you tell me the flight's going to be an hour and 45 minutes, I'm good for an hour and 45 minutes, but please, sweet Jesus, do not let it go any further than that.
Wow.
So,
see, I don't have that problem flying.
Well, you're lucky. So you wouldn't...
I can't.
Maria, you wouldn't enjoy like a 16-hour flight to Sydney, Australia?
Oh my God, no. I would either kill somebody or kill myself, so it would not be pretty. You know, and I would love, and that's the bad part, I would love to go to Ireland or to England. Nashville has a nonstop flight from Nashville to London, and I would love to be able to do that, but I would have to be completely unconscious the whole way there.
Wow.
None of it sounds good to me. I mean, I get on YouTube and I watch these documentaries on planes crashing, and you think of the people when they're on the airplane, you know, they're thinking, oh, no, it's so safe. It's so safe till the wings fly off. Yes, it's rare, and yes, it's more dangerous driving a car. But, you know, the weird stuff happens. I've been on some pretty weird flights, too. I was on one flight. We stopped. We lay over in something like Oakland or something like that. And it was delayed because there's problems with the plane. And they put mechanics on the plane in case there were issues during the flight because they didn't want to try and get another airplane. So you're sitting there knowing this plane could completely fall apart, you know, and it's just... It's so unpleasant.
Well, that, and you hear a lot about the unhealthy cabin air, and a lot of people, I've known several people that have done those flights straight through, and they're sick by the time they get home, sinus infections or what have you, and they may have caught something before that they boarded the plane, but when several of the people are sick by the time they get off of the flight, I think I'll pass.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And one of the worst flights I ever had was I was flying into New York, and I was sick. It was like when you're a private investigator, you just don't call in sick. So I left Portland, Oregon sick. And, you know, I had a fever of 101. I was all blocked up. And as we were descending into New York, my ears hurt so bad. I thought for sure my eardrums were going to pop, you know, burst. It was so terrible. But getting onto that sickness thing, just because I'm kind of boots on the ground with the flu season because I work in a hospital, I will say for everybody listening that flu is on the rise. We are getting positives, a lot more positives than normal. So
that time of year, isn't it?
Yep, it's picking up.
Do you do the flu vaccination?
So where I work, I declined it. I had to sign a form. Now, there are some vaccinations that I did have to get that you can't negotiate out of, like hepatitis B. I had to get chickenpox because I never had chickenpox. You know, I had to get the Tdap and all that. But they do let you opt out of the flu, but you have to sign a form. And then if you're in any patient areas, which I am somewhat frequently, I have to wear a mask, which is probably good policy anyways.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
But there are some
rooms,
they say,
you know, hospitals and schools and doctor's offices, airplanes, as you just mentioned, they're you know, a breeding ground for germs and everything. So it's, you know, it just kind of, it's part of the profession, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many sick people out there. Some of the rooms, you know, they have warning signs, and then you have to gown up and wear a mask, and some you even have to wear a respirator. It's crazy. It's the amount of sickness going on out there. But anyways, I mean, none of this is paranormal, but who cares? We're winging it. But yeah, I'm not a big flu vaccination person. Now, I've never had the flu, but if I had had the flu at some point, I probably would get the, you know, the vaccination. But I have a lot of problems, but one of them is not my immune system, thankfully.
Well, I mean, vaccinations can be, it's not paranormal, it's more of a conspiracy type thing. You know, there's all the talk about vaccinating your child or not vaccinating your child, and there's a lot of controversy over that. And I'm like you, I have never had the flu. So if I worked someplace that made it mandatory for me to have a vaccination against something, it's viral, changes itself. And usually when they give you the vaccination, it's for the flu that was going around the year before, and it's not even the same thing this time.
Yeah.
So there's
a lot
of controversy over that.
It's not 100%. I mean, there was one really bad year where the flu shot was like only 30 to 40% effective. And yeah, there's no guarantees.
And of course, there's lot of people that say that they didn't get sick until they got the flu shot.
I've talked to so many people that said that, and that was one of my decisions not to do it, is because I talked to 3 or 4 people. And it could be coincidental, you know, or maybe some other illness. But I talked to a couple of people who are like, yeah, shortly after they got the shot, they got really, really sick.
Well, and I've had a few nurses to tell me that sometimes it's a live virus, sometimes it's not, that's in the vaccination. So who knows what you're getting? It's a crapshoot.
I'm not really an anti-vaxxer. I mean, I think vaccines are good. It's just the flu that I'm kind of, you know, iffy about. But I'm not quite ready to jump on the flu conspiracy bandwagon. It's just more of a personal choice.
Well, that's just like saying, you know, you're not going to get a vaccination against polio because you've never had it before. So, I mean, we all do it. We take care of our kids, we vaccinate them just in case, because we don't want our children to be sick. But then, you know, you hear all the stories about what's in these vaccinations and all the extra ones that they've added on to. You know, it's the list when I was little was not that long. It was smallpox, polio, and a few other things. But now it's like this long list that just keeps going. So a lot of parents have just, you know, have said, okay, you're not putting all of that stuff into my child. So, and it's, you know, that's a personal choice. That's not bad or good. You know, it's whatever anybody wants to do with their children or their bodies.
Yeah, it should
totally
be.
What do you think about some of these, where they make it mandatory that if you, your child can't even go into school if you, unless they're vaccinated, or even animals where they won't even let you go to certain places like a dog show because your dog is not vaccinated?
Correct. I know kennels will not allow you to board your animals unless they've had all of their shots and even extra ones that they require. I've ran into that problem before with my son's dog. He got him vaccinated and took him back in, and it was because that they had not done one orally with the animal. They gave him a shot for it instead of putting it into his nose. They wouldn't accept him to board. And it was for the exact same thing. It was just the dog got a shot for it instead of taking it through his nasal cavity.
Huh.
It's really odd. But with all of the medical talk, Sherry, I know you are hands-on medically with your Chinese medicine. Do you work a lot with people that get just viruses and things? Explain what your Chinese medicine does.
Well, our Chinese medicine is looking at the, the body depends on where your hands or your ears, the body itself has over 200 meridians. And each we call yin organ, which is the heart, liver, lungs, kidneys, and spleen.
I think we lost her.
Oh, no. There's a conspiracy we can talk about.
The government does not want Sherry to talk about Chinese Chinese medicine and the 200 meridians. I'm sure she'll call back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything about Chinese medicine.
I don't know anything about that.
But so
that's left to the experts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure she'll call right back in. So what's been going on? Have you heard anything in the world of paranormal? Anything going on? Anything new with your investigations?
Actually, my caseload has been very light the past couple of weeks. I don't know, because I'm with MUFON, and I'm with what they call the CAG team, which is Case Assistance Group. Sometimes when states have a lot of case overloads and the state directors can't handle that workload, they don't have enough people. They will send that case to the CAG team, and then they are assigned. There are probably 50 to 60 of us. I don't even have a number. It may not be. And we will help the certain states. But I've not had much lately, which I guess I don't know if that's really good for the world of UFOs or not. But we get some pretty interesting ones.
Well, the only thing that I've run across... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. The only thing you've run across is what?
The only thing I've run across is a mainstream news article. I think it was on several of the mainstream news articles. Was about this guy that was telling a story about his alien abduction 45 years after it happened. And he was talking about him and his buddy were at night, and they were fishing on a lake. And these beings abducted him, and he was kind of going through this whole story. And like I said, it happened 45 years ago, and now he's just talking about it. And apparently back in the day, 45 years ago, as the article stated, they did report it to the police, and the police were like, you know, thinking they're crazy or whatever. And they gave the guys lie detectors, and they passed them, and the police were starting to believe them, but the last 45 years, no one's talked about this story, so this guy's just coming out. And I wish I had more information on it. So I thought that was interesting.
It is. of course, 45 years ago, MUFON wasn't all that well known. So people wouldn't have known to report anything to them. Because also, not too long before that, you had Project Blue Book, which that ended in 1969. Project Blue Book would get UFO cases that were reported, and they would go investigate them. But their whole thing was not to find out what the truth was. It was to tell you that you were crazy or it was some kind of natural phenomenon that had happened, like you saw swamp gas or you were looking at Venus or, you know, that spaceship that landed in the middle of your field that left all of those burn marks was a figment of your imagination. So a lot of people are starting to learn about MUFON and that they can come back, you know, and make these reports, and we will go in and do a full investigation with the evidence that we have. You know, as far as abductions, pictures and things like that, if you have the markings or things like the, if someone took a picture of you, any physical evidence would be compromised by then. But, I mean, MUFON will do a full investigation and try to find out a real answer, because there may be somebody else that reported that very same sighting of a UFO in that area at the same time that these people were being abducted. So anytime anybody thinks that they witnessed a UFO or whatever, always report it to MUFON, or, and you can, MUFON will do a further investigation on it than the police will. Because a lot of those people just kind of look at you like you're crazy.
So we do have Sherry back, but I wanted to add a little bit more information. So this guy's name is Calvin Parker. This happened in October of 1973. He says he was, you know, out fishing, and he noticed a blue light reflecting off the water. And initially he thought it was law enforcement officers had arrived to tell them that they were trespassing. But as he looked at it more, he realized the light was coming from a craft, and it was nothing that he had ever seen. So it was a blue light that came out of the clouds, and it was blinding him. He said that the light was so bright, but he was able to discern that the craft was the shape of a football. And then the situation got a lot weirder. He said that three legless creatures floated from the craft. One had no neck with gray wrinkled skin. Another had a neck and appeared to be more feminine. He described their hands as being shaped like mittens or crab claws. Crab claws. One of the creatures put his claw around his arm, and he said he was terrified, but then another feeling came over his body, like he was like psychically calmed or something like that. And he also thinks he was injected with something to calm him down as well. And they basically floated him into this craft and performed some sort of physical examinations on him. And then they were eventually dropped back off at the river. And apparently he's written a book on this, and, I don't know, maybe that's why he's coming out with it now, but it's very interesting.
That does sound very interesting. I'll have to look into that one.
I've never heard of aliens having crab claws or crab-like claws. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, see, there's different races of them, and that would be like the praying mantis. You have that type of race. It gets pretty complicated. it really does. But yes, I've heard of them.
Well, if I saw an alien crab claws, my first instinct would not be fear. It would be pass the butter, because I'm famished. Just throw that bad boy in a pot of water. Hey, Sherry, you're back.
Yeah, we got cut out.
Yeah, I know, weird.
That's strange. That's not the
government doesn't want you talking about it.
They don't want you talking about the meridians. But anyways, that's where we left off before we start talking about crab aliens. So the body has 200 meridians.
Yeah, I was talking, and all of a sudden I felt like it was like I was talking to myself, and it's weird. I said hello, and then nobody answered.
Huh. The government.
Anyway, so, yeah, it's going to be, yeah, I want to make sure that our listeners know that Maria is going to be on my show next week. I think she's going to be airing next week, aren't you, Maria?
Yes.
We're going to talk about Maria's had, what, 23, 24 years of experience banking in the banking industry, and the subject she's going to be talking about on my show, my other show, I say not my show, but my other show, it's called Portals to Enlightenment, Your Journey to Body, Mind, and Spirit, Your Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit. And Maria's going to be joining on the show on Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time, and she's going to talk about how to manage your money on a day-to-day basis. Very good tips and advice, and I urge you listeners to go and listen to her chat for half an hour and get something out of it. And some may know a little bit how to do it. Some are doing it, but, you know, those that are not sure, she's got some really good advice and things to think about. So I would like you guys to tune in at 5:30, and we're going to be you can tune in to iTunes, Amazon, Pandora, Spotify, Google Play, all the 25 or 30 major podcasts we are on. So, yes, listen to Maria. Please do and support us.
I went on a rant. I didn't mean to, but it happened.
It's great. It was a good rant. Keeps the energy flowing. No, it was a good show. Very, very good show.
Yeah, I get a little excited when somebody wants to know what their balance is and they don't know what it is. So I just get a little excited over it.
I'll tell you what my balance
is. Yeah,
I'm pretty
guilty of that myself. Not enough. But anyway, yes. Yeah, Portals of Enlightenment just started. I think that'll be my, third episode? Yeah, that'll be our third episode that it will be aired. The first one was the introduction. The first one was my introduction. The second one was Andrea Perrone. She's talking about the behind the scenes. And then the third one is Maria. So, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, listen to us. And like I said, it's only in between 30 minutes to 35 minutes. So, and you can always go and archive it and just go under Portals to Enlightenment.
Well, this is kind of your first of the year. Let's get everybody straightened out. Get your mind, your body, your mind, and your spirit settled and have a good year. That's a perfect way to learn instead of everybody sets all of these New Year's resolutions and they never keep them. But this is something easy. This isn't, you know, something as rugged as everybody wants to start going to a gym and losing weight, working out. This is stuff you can just easily work into your daily life and start soothing your body, mind, and spirit to live a better life.
Exactly. Exactly. And in Chinese medicine, that's what we look at. We call it the three treasures. So when I went to school in Chinese medicine, and I knew this growing up also, the primary belief system, not only in Chinese medicine, but also the way of life or culture is body, mind, and spirit. Without the body and the mind being in balance or the spirit, you have diseases and imbalances that can cause irregularities. So that's why I thought, oh, yeah, that'd be cool, you know, just to cover a show that covers everything. I love paranormal, and don't get me wrong, but it's just you can only cover so much with the paranormal, and there's such a plethora of different avenues that you guys, we all cover in the paranormal, but having the body, mind, and spirit, it expands everything. You know, I'm going to have a veterinarian going to talk about dog, you know, the things to look at, what about a dog, and then I'll have them come back and, you know, talk about cats, and I had a request tonight saying, can you have them cover about rabbits? I said, okay.
Wow.
So So, you know, just different things that we all can, you know, never thought about. And you have people that are experts in their own, you know, field, and they can share their research and their knowledge and their experience with our listeners. So I think it's a win-win situation. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about, is expanding one's knowledge.
It is.
I know I have.
And sharing
I
that
have more,
with others.
I have more of an open mind now, you know, from doing the show and talking about so many diverse subjects on the show. And, yeah, it's very entertaining. And there's a big market for the paranormal, you know, with all the shows and everything. That's why we do what we do.
Cool. Well, we'll just continue. I mean, we've been at it for, what, 5 years? I've been with you guys with Jason for over 3 years, and Maria's on board with our team, and we're just going to keep on moving along and expanding and just, you know, helping those that are around us and helping ourselves at the same time. It's all, to me, it's all helping elevate each other's consciousness and growth, you know, learning and growth and sharing. That's what it's all about.
Well, and people also don't realize that paranormal covers so many different areas. Usually when you say paranormal, people immediately just think of ghosts, demons, spirits, you know, things like that. But paranormal covers everything. Your cryptids, the UFO field, just all kinds of different areas. And it is hard to weed out the baloney from the good meat, I guess is a way to put it. Because there's so many people out there that they want to holler demon anytime something paranormal happens, and that's not what it is. I mean, if, you know, your door pops open, it could be a draft. You know, it doesn't have to be paranormal. It's just all in what you feel and what you think's going on. And there's a lot of information. I mean, there are books. You can go to the library. You can get stuff online, because I know going to the library is not a popular thing to do nowadays. Not like we used to have to do.
A library? What's that?
Yeah, exactly. The Dewey Decimal System. Yeah.
My
well,
library,
you know, you
is Wikipedia.
In the library thing, I have to add this joke, guys, okay? But, you know, library is a very good source of information. You know, I don't know how it is with your library over where you're at, Maria, but out here you can go and check out a book or a DVD for, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever. But the thing is, on the downsides, okay? So here's the conspiracy theory of the paranormal of that part, is that if you don't want people to know what you're checking out and what things you're interested in, so let's, I mean, if you're checking out, let's put a say, you know, the BOMB or GUN, you know, that kind of thing, people are going to start watching you, you know, kind of thing. So that's the other part of it, is that there is no privacy. Once you go and use the library services, that can be the downside of it. It's a very good resource if you, you know, it's a good way to help, but also it can be a downside.
Oh, you're opening a can of worms, Sherry, with government surveillance. Don't get me started.
Oh, come on, Jason.
That's
a right. Stop on that. Just about all the shady stuff the government does, watching everything we do, you know, use your rewards cards, everything like that, internet service providers tracking everything, just viruses and mouth, the NSA, you know, apparently the government's linked up to this AT&T building that traffics all the internet traffic. There's Project Echelon, which is a global surveillance of pretty much everything electronic. There's Pine Gap in Australia, which is in league with the U.S. government for signals intelligence, intercepting everything. Yeah, and you say you spelled out some words, G-U-N, and stuff, but there's some pretty much legitimacy behind using keywords, and you use the wrong words, somebody's going to notice. You type the wrong words in your address bar, somebody's going to pick up on that and report it. I mean, we are under a state of total global surveillance. It's not quite as bad as China or even the UK, China is really taking it to the next level, putting a bazillion cameras with facial recognition technology. And I mean, there's buildings that now use facial recognition to let people in. And if people are marked as, you know, maybe not, I don't want to say the word dissident, or if they don't, if the government feels that they're not what the government wants, they get denied services because of that. And it's not necessarily because they've done anything wrong. So yeah, it's just getting worse. I mean, Edward Snowden, the release of all those NSA documents, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And can you imagine what they're doing now? They're watching everything. Everything we're doing is being monitored. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's at a desk looking at it, but the data is there somewhere. So if you pop up on their radar, they'll know everything you do, everything about you.
That's too bad.
Oh, definitely.
What do you think, Maria?
Number one, I just had to go outside to go check out the moon because the eclipse is just about of the moon. It's almost totally done. Sorry. Stuff like that excites me. I have to go check it out.
Oh, is it tonight? I didn't know it was tonight. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can see it, well, yeah. Anyways, it's beautiful. But
okay.
To go back to the government stuff, I mean, it's just there's project after project. I mean, Jason just reeled off just all kinds of it. And the Patriot Act, when that went into – and that's where the 911 conspiracy stuff comes in.
Huh.
A lot of people want to say that that was staged because – then that way they could go ahead and legally put in everything that they wanted to do, to spy on everything, to look and keep a database.
Wow.
Of anything you look at, who you talk to, your text messages, your phone calls. I mean, and they've gone in with Google and Amazon and all of that, and that way, you know, because you can – go to Amazon and look at something and then get out of that and then maybe go to check out a news website or something. And if you'll look at those little ads that are to the side or up above, what you were just looking at to buy on Amazon will be right there in those ads. Those are customized to your browser.
Wow. So it doesn't matter what browser where you use, you know, whether you use Google or you use whatever, Safari or Google Chrome or whatever.
Correct. That's exactly right. Because when I did, and when I really started paying attention to it, because I hate to shop, whether it's physically or online, I absolutely hate it. But I was doing Christmas this year shopping online. And I got to noticing, okay, so that pair of shoes that I was going to buy for my mother, this ad just popped up from the same place, the store that I had just looked at 15 minutes before. And it is now in the ad. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
they know exactly.
It's not just the NSA. I mean, the CIA, NSA is almost the small part of the problem. I mean, it's the corporations. They're listening to keywords through your phone, and you don't know it, and then you're getting all these weird ads. I've had that happen to me before. A lot of people, there's videos on YouTube where people have tested it, just saying a random product that they would never, ever use a couple times during the day, and then, you know, within hours, they're starting to get ads for it. Companies and corporations are watching everything we do because they want to sell us stuff.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh,
yeah, and the government has paid them very well to let them in. You know, because a lot of these places could say, no, you're not going to get this information, but then they kind of make it to where that you kind of don't have a choice. But, yes, Jason, just exactly what you're talking about, you can have your phone in your room and you and your friend can be having a conversation and then you pick up your phone and to look something up and the that very same ad of whatever you were talking about has just popped up on your phone. It even comes through on your Facebook feeds.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, ma'am. Girlfriend, my girlfriend and I can be texting about something, just whatever, I don't know, say snowshoes or whatever, and pull up on Facebook and immediately, oh, I know what one of them was. I made the comment about, I love to watch the movie Tombstone, but I don't get to watch it that often because I can't catch it when it's on. And
mm-hmm.
I'll be darned if I didn't get all of these different T-shirt advertisements of I'm your Huckleberry. Or, and then the next one, the T-shirt slogan would say, I've got two guns, one for each of you.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I was talking to a friend one time because my feet are jacked. I got, you know, my big toes grow in, got the whole bunion thing going on. Ever since I was a kid, my feet have just been a problem. I swear to God, within a few minutes, I started to see ads for bunion treatment and surgery. I mean, how
yeah.
random is that? You know, it's so ridiculous.
And see, we're old enough that we know that this is just wrong, completely wrong. This shouldn't be happening. But people got complacent with it after the 9/11 attacks, because it's like, okay, if my government wants to listen to what I have to say, that's fine because I'm not doing anything wrong. That is the worst in the world. Our kids are growing up and they're used to this. This is nothing to them. So what are we teaching our kids? This is not okay. But they're being taught that it is, that this is just a way of life.
And it's just going to get worse. You know, the government takes a lot, and then they get caught with something, and then they pull it back, and everybody forgets about it, and then they keep going, and technology advances, and spying advances, and corporations are jumping on the bandwagon because there's not enough legislation, or people inadvertently give them access, but not by not reading the terms of service or not reading the permissions they're granting on their smartphones. You know, start looking at the permissions when you download a game app. You know, on some of them they're like, we'll let you access your microphone, your contacts, your
right.
video camera, and it's like, that's out of control.
And the only thing that people look at is the fact that it says we won't post to Facebook. And that's the only thing they look at, and it's like, cool. And they just go right on. Well, how many people do you know that
live in a very – we don't have any privacy. And once you get on the Internet, that's it. You're kind of due – or even on the, you know, having a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the big ones, but that's not the only. I mean, you know, we're seeing more traffic cameras. We're seeing more departments utilizing technology of automatic license plate readers, so they know where your car's at and it stores the information. The more uses of facial recognition in DMVs now, when you get your picture taken, at least in Oregon and a lot of other places, they're not just taking a picture. They're using facial recognition stuff. It's everywhere. Even going off the grid is no assurance. I mean, yeah.
Jeez.
How many people do you know that when they're sitting in front of their laptop or whatever, and they've got a piece of paper taped across their camera? Because I mean, if you leave your laptop open, or even while you're even using it, anybody can remote in and go through your camera and see what's in your house. They can tap into that microphone, hear what you're talking about. And then, of course, now look at all your smart TVs. A lot of those are wireless. so they can come in that way if they want.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and there's YouTube videos on how to hack that stuff, and it's not that difficult. There's programs you can download, and you know, essentially anybody can be a hacker.
On YouTube has everything. If you want to know how to do it, go to YouTube. Somebody's got a video for it.
It's a scary world we live in, you know, and it's just going to get
really
worse.
Is.
And what is it? What is all the information for? What?
Just to
well,
get my question.
Just to get your
ahead,
personal
Maria.
Information. That's all they want to know.
What
they want to know
so
everything about you.
Well, the main purpose is with corporations advertising to sell stuff. The government purpose is they're storing all this information on you. And if your name, you say you're an activist or something, you know, somebody that's not popular with the government, they'll know everything, your browsing habits, everything you do, what you like to eat, and literally every bit of information about you. So they can add that to your file, you know. And who knows? I mean, there could be other reasons as well, but that's just the common sense one that I see is information is power. I was a private investigator, and I never really used Facebook, or at least put accurate information on Facebook, because one of the tools we would use, because oftentimes we didn't know what somebody looked like, and I was a surveillance investigator, so all I did was surveillance. And sometimes we could get lucky on Facebook and find a picture, and now I know who I'm looking for. There's all sorts of things you can do online that most people aren't aware of to get information on people. You know, court records, a lot of counties have free databases where you can just type somebody's name and learn all the civil and criminal cases against them. And if you can't do that, if it's not set up online, anybody can go down at least an organ to the courthouse and they have a public terminal and you can get that information. And there's just a ridiculous amount of information about people online. And the sad thing is that the vast majority of the information you learn about people online is stuff that they've submitted and that they've put online.
Yes. Yes. So. Yes. Yes. Well, that's like, you know, everybody puts pictures of their kids, going to school, what grade they're in, blah, 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 blah. And then you've also got where you live, what area it is. It's not that hard to find out all kinds of information about you and your children that you really don't realize that you're sticking out there for the world to see.
That's terrible. Yes.
I've had people come to me and want to locate somebody, and you know, I was able to find them on Facebook. I didn't have any idea, you know, where they were at, but just based on pictures, I was able to figure it out. And you know, people just need to be careful what you put online, particularly Facebook. The smart thing to do is if you have to have Facebook, just don't put a lot of information in there or use inaccurate information. Do something, but don't put real.
What do you think about that 10-year challenge or that your first Facebook picture compared to what you look like now? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah, the 10-year transformation?
Yes.
I don't like that. See, that's giving out too much information.
Well, you know, it's like, okay, so we know what you looked like 10 years ago, so here you go. Here's more facial recognition that you can put in your data.
Yeah, see, that's true. True. It's already, you know, it's one thing that you're using your pictures. Hey, look at me. This is what I'm doing, you know, with my family or something after the fact. But, yeah, when you do 10 years, this is what before and this is after kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, people don't think that they're willing to go and you know.
Yeah,
well,
people
Jason,
aren't.
That's that's just like you were talking about all the information that you gathered. You can imagine what the CIA can come up with, but it's like those movies that you see where they pull these people in and they start to interrogate them and they tell them everything about their life from the time they were a teenager, every crappy thing they did through high school and in college and stuff. You know, this is stuff that they thought nobody knew.
Yep. And, you know, anybody can request their FBI file because everybody has an FBI file. So through the Freedom of Information Act, it takes a long time to get, but you can get that. And I'm sure it'll have a lot of stuff redacted. But, I mean, if you have applied for credit after, like, 1996, you have a file with the FBI or something along those lines. I mean, it's stored everywhere. Now, since 9/11, you have what are called fusion centers, which are in Oregon, there's one in Salem, which is basically a conglomeration of federal, state, local agencies, and it's just a clearinghouse of information. It gets everybody talking together. And yeah, some people could argue and say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. But again, it's kind of a lack of privacy, you know. Everything being monitored, it's out of control.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, that, well, I don't have anything to hide. Well, I don't either, but it's not any of your damn business.
That's,
you know?
True.
It doesn't take much to get on their radar, you know? So if you have political beliefs that are a little sideways compared, you know, the government can want to look at you for any host of reasons. It's not necessarily you being a criminal, you know?
Right. You know, it's just, but still, it's, you know, and it's, you want to go into the gun argument and things like that. It's like, you know, if I want to own a gun that is bigger than I am, I can do that because that's my right. You know, I mean, it's if I just want to own it and say, you know, look how pretty this is. I don't know how to use it, and it would probably throw me into next week with the recoil, but I got it. You know, and
right.
I get it. I mean, I understand. I understand the arguments on both sides, but yes, you've got, because you don't want somebody that's criminally insane getting it and just deciding to walk in someplace and open up fire, but there you go. There's something else that's crazy about that, because why are we not better as a society to not take your violence out and just walk in someplace and just decide to shoot everybody because you woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? You know, I mean, it's just
that's
a whole different world now, because guns used to be everywhere all the time.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Like, you
so
know,
do you
some of it.
The gun, or do you find it's the person?
Yeah.
I
and
think
I
it's
understand
person.
You need. Yes, exactly. It is the person. And
yeah.
But it's, you know, they want to, but you can get in a car and run over somebody and kill them, and they don't think twice about it. I mean, that's. You know, that was another thing. It was like there are people that are coming in, okay, so they're going to take you from the terrorists decided that they were going to start jumping in cars and running over all of these people on sidewalks. That was going on not too long ago, what, earlier this year? I mean, earlier last year or the year before? It's like, okay, so now they're not bombing everybody, but they're just going to run you over in a vehicle.
I think it just happened in Japan. It was Japan or China just last week.
I mean, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were hearing a lot about that. And then, you
yeah.
know, I mean, you can't, you just got to pay attention to your surroundings. I mean, just, and it's scary. You can't even go to a concert without worrying about the person beside of you. Who are they and what are they doing?
So what do you think
and
about
think,
the government being oops, sorry, Jason.
I think a lot of it, or maybe not a lot of it, but some of it has to do with the fact that we're a heavily medicated society. You know, you go to the doctor because you're having a bad day, and then you're getting shoved full of these antidepressants and stuff like that. That just can't be good, altering brain chemistry.
No. Never.
Yeah, what do you think about the government being shut down?
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. We do have a caller. I know that I do not work for the government, so I still get a paycheck. But I think that's pretty not cool to not pay the employees, and they need to get that figured out because a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and to not get paid is absolutely ridiculous. But we do have a caller, and I don't know if they have a question or not. Let's bring them on. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, this is Mike in New York.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hi, Mike.
How's everybody? No, just
very good.
I was calling in to see what you guys were talking about. I just tuned in, so to speak. So I heard a little bit about terrorists, and then I heard about the shutdown, the political mess that Washington has. But I don't know. We live in interesting times.
We're talking about government
right.
surveillance. And all this craziness going on with mass surveillance, and yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. Well, you're from New York, and New York has a lot of surveillance.
Yeah, I'm one of the few conservative gun owners left in the state. I think there's about 10 or 15 of us. I'm just joking. There's more than that. But, I mean, and I live about 45 minutes north of Mordor. On a good night, you could see the dark glow below me in New York City. It's just, you know, it's foreboding. But, yeah, it's there, all right. And they've got a new bill that one of them is pushing. It hasn't made it to the floor of the assembly yet. But they want you, if you try to amend your pistol permit, you buy a new handgun, or you go for a gun license, or to buy a gun, a rifle, a shotgun, whatever. They want you to turn over all your passwords for your Twitter, your Facebook, all your whatever social media you have, as well as they want access to your internet for the past year so they can look at what your search is, what you've been looking at on the internet.
You have
no
got
way.
To be kidding me.
Yep, no, I'm dead serious. So that and a lot of people came back to them. Even the ACLU came after them and said, "Are you out of your mind?" And they said, "Well, we have to see if there's any hate speech." And who's going to determine that? Some bureaucrat sitting in an office working for the state police?
Exactly.
So
wow.
Now,
and you even have to be careful. It's not only what you search on the internet or anything, or you talk on the phone, but it's what you say to people. Some people are
yes.
so easily offended by just one word that could be misconstrued, and they can
yep.
say, "Oh, well, you're harassment or abuse or whatever." They just distort everything.
I mean, I put a thing on my Facebook page today as a joke because I'm a government contractor. I feed military. My wife and I are in food service for the soldiers, and I put it on there as a joke. But the majority of my friends on my Facebook page are soldiers, and it was from the Duffel Blog. Have you ever seen the Duffel Blog? Go to Google and type in Duffel Blog, and it's a satire site. I mean, they have it's like The Onion, only it's more of a military theme to it. And so they had a great article that they put up, and I put it as a joke. And I put, "Wow, who knew?" And then LOL. Well, the title is "Troops in Afghanistan Heartbroken After Speaker Pelosi's Visit Was Canceled." It's a joke. Calm down. Oh, my God. I had even friends of mine come in and say, "Well, at least I give her credit for going over to visit the troops." And I wrote back. I said, "You know, we don't know what her ulterior motives are. I mean, she's not new to the government. This is a game. And they use the troops as stage props for their theater." And so I don't trust any of them, Republican, Democrat. They've all got a game going and a scam going. And their main thing is to bullshit us and get reelected and live at the purse strings, and we get the bills. It's hard to sound like a pessimist, but it's, I guess the older I'm getting, I'm turning into Archie Bunker. I don't know. All you can do is you look at it, watch it, and just laugh.
Yeah, and you know what? That show, this day and time, oh, my God, that would never fly.
Oh, yeah, no.
Archie Bunker, yeah.
Oh,
All
yeah.
in the Family
oh,
with Archie Bunker
yeah. oh,
today,
yeah.
that would never fly.
Oh, you'd have Antifa in the streets.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's just like the news story that came up this past week about a kid that was supposed to have been disrespecting a Native American Vietnam veteran or something like that. All
yeah, I think
in
I saw
his
that.
Face.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even what happened. Yeah, the kid could have been a lot more respectful and everything, but that was a whole class, whole school that was there and visiting the memorial. And they were doing their thing, and then this guy comes up and he starts aggravating the kids. The only thing you saw was what the media wanted you to see, because those
right.
kids had those Make America Great Again hats on their heads.
All right. They targeted them. It's
yes.
it's all a game. It's a game. I mean, I had, and when the guys first came back, the first group from New York, when they first got back from Iraq, it was 2004. I don't remember. But anyways, we're behind the mess hall and we're talking. I'm with like four or five of the guys. And I said, one of the things they told me, they said, we were talking about the media, and they said they drove into this town, and the media, it was NBC or ABC, one of those, that was already in the town. And they were setting up, getting their equipment out of the truck and everything else. And now the American Patrol comes in, and they watched the media, the people from the studio pay, or whoever these field representatives were, paying the locals, giving them cash to stand, and they get like six or eight of them to stand there and start yelling in Arabic and shaking their fists and everything as a backdrop, while the reporters stood in front of them with the microphone saying, I'm here as local people are protesting the Americans coming into the town. And the guys told me, they said, we saw them stage that.
Wow.
And we can't say anything. We're not allowed to say anything. But now that video was shown back in the U.S. and people went, they don't want us there. It was all set up, but we can't say a word. So it's
wow.
a different perspective. Yeah. And, I mean, they play us for idiots because, see, they need to get an interesting story, and it's in their best interest to get a story, to get flash. It doesn't matter if it's true or false. They have to create. It's Hollywood. It's theater. They have to create
yeah.
something. That's how
yeah,
they get
yeah.
the paychecks. And it's no offense. And to them, it's not personal. It's like, we're not, you know, no offense to you, but we have to get an interesting, juicy story here. I'm sorry. I got to get a paycheck.
That's right.
And it's unbelievable. And then the average person, they just sit there and they nod their pointy little heads and go, wow, look at that, Fred. Wow. I guess they're right. Trump's bad news. Wow. It's
how's
unreal.
It's
on the
media.
They all loved him before he ran for president. I mean, they all loved him.
Well, you know, I've got a good friend of mine that's in some sort of law enforcement down there. I'll just put it that way. And he told me, he said, they're enjoying it. He said, it's hilarious. He said that there were Republicans and Democrats down in Washington that were making millions on their own little scams and deals and side deals they had for years in Congress and Senate, you name it. And he said, and along comes Trump and stopped it. And they hate it.
Yes.
They can't
yes.
control him. They can't buy him. And he's rude. He's obnoxious. And he's blunt. And he's arrogant. And that aggravates them even worse. And you know what I say? Then let me buy him a baseball bat and let him walk through the hallways with a bat. Good for him.
That's
if,
right.
if that's what it takes to clear out the trash and all these money make, I don't want somebody that's polite that's going to stab me in the back. I'd rather have them cleaned out. And if this shutdown, yeah, I feel sorry for the good ones, because there are a lot of good federal employees out there. And there's a lot of deadwood out there, too. So it would be nice if they could use this for maybe to look at their look at the list of the people, the labor that's out there, and use it as a force reduction, and cut back and let some of these guys go, because a lot of them are redundant. We don't need them. The government is bloated, and now they're even freaking out worse because, I mean, under Obama, they created a large government. They pushed it. Do you remember Obama and Hillary saying, you didn't build that? Remember that expression? That was when the government turned against the private sector. They said that business, small business, well, you didn't build that. Well, I got news for you. If you really know your history, small business did build this country. If you go back and look, when the Continental Congress couldn't get a loan from a European bank and they needed money to pay the Continental soldiers to continue the war, it was an American merchant, a businessman, that arranged for the loan and co-signed for it to Congress to get the money to pay the soldiers. So, and the media never even said that. So in a way, no, you didn't build that. The government didn't build it. It was small business. It was the American citizen that built it. So I don't know. It was before. Sorry to get on a soapbox. I'm sort of a historian.
No, you're fine.
And,
no,
yeah,
you're fine.
It's a great, crazy world we live in.
My husband was saying, and I don't know anything about this government because I don't get involved with this, all this stuff. I just try and pay attention to my own stuff. But my husband said that the government shutdown is kind of helping trimming the fat, because the government employees, he says, are paid 17% above the average worker.
You know what they came after me? They told me that back when Obama, they almost put us out of business. They weren't giving us contracts. They said that the government can do a better job for less than half the price and do a better job at feeding the soldiers than we can. And I told them bullshit.
That's right.
you were giving me $4. I mean, I'm not KBR. We're a mom and pop deal. So you were giving me $4, $4.50 for breakfast, $6 to $7 for lunch, and $8.50 to $9 for dinner. Now, back then, and I mean, today you could spend $9 at McDonald's for a burger and a shake and a fry and ate something. It kind of came out to the other day. I added it up. And here's a complete meal with salad, vegetables, starch, everything. Are you kidding me? And then as much as you want. Buffet. You want seconds? Go for it. As much as you want for drinks and everything else. What buffets do you know that you can get for $9, all you can eat? This is in Vegas. And you're in New York. You know how much prices are in New York City?
Oh, I know.
A lot.
Holy shit. Are you kidding me? So so anyways, and I found a report from the Navy, and it was, what was it? It was from 1999 or 2000. It was a Navy report that came out back then that said that it cost the government something like $30 a meal, per meal, to put on a meal in the mess hall with using military personnel. But you have to figure they really added up the cost. By the time you have warrant officers or NCOs that are working in supply, order the food, get the food in, you have people there to unload it, ship, account for it, get it in the refrigerators, it has to be inventory, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all that is personnel, and it adds up. The electricity, the lights, using the equipment, everything else, now getting the personnel, you have to let them sleep over, you have to feed them, they're getting paid, they got health benefits. Yes, it costs. So then I went back to them, I said, and you're telling me that you can do a breakfast cheaper than me and better?
Yeah.
So they, you know, the attitude of the government with the government workers is getting back to it. What you said, yeah, your husband's right. A lot of it's bloated, and a lot of them don't do their job, and it's frustrating because there are a lot of them that are very good at what they do, and they take a look at the ones that are protected and can't get fired, and it aggravates the hell out of them. You know, And I don't know, but we've allowed it to happen. We've allowed it to happen because we sat asleep at the switch, and we stood there, and we were too wrapped up with our own lives, and I got to pick up Johnny at school, and I got soccer practice, and, oh, I got to go. I'm busy. I've got to go to a dance tonight, and I got a movie tomorrow. And we're so wrapped up in our own lives that we figured, you know what, the government's safe. Everything, there's oversight. Well, no, there isn't any oversight. And they're making money.
That's true.
And
well,
it's
you know,
we
20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, you'd think that you were led to believe that, you know, go get a state job or city job or a government job because it's secure and it pays well and you got PERS and all these other things, you know. That's what I was kind of led to believe, too, you know, back 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, these government workers that are laid off right now or working without pay, they knew that this could happen to them at any time.
Well, I hate to be a buzzkill, everyone, but we are out of time.
But, do they give you overtime?
Yeah.
Sometimes I know some of them give you like an hour free overtime. If you let it run, then they cut you.
Yeah, the show is scheduled. Actually, when we schedule these shows, we schedule it for 30 minutes extra, but I got a meeting I got to do. I want to thank you for calling in tonight. You're the guy with all the militaria, right?
Yes, I am. You remember. I called in before.
Yeah. I remember. That's so cool. But, hey, thanks for calling in again and taking part.
No problem.
Thank you for calling, Mike. We appreciate all of us appreciate you calling in and having your tidbit, because it's so refreshing to be able to get somebody else's opinion.
No, thank you so much, and all the best to all of us for this year. Happy New Year, everybody.
And
Happy New Year
to you with Paranormal Horizons. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right. Got to wrap it up. So what do we got next week? Eric Mitchell. Can't even talk right. Eric Mitchell, right?
Yes. I'm excited. I'll have to call and remind him, but yes, he's supposed to be here tomorrow or next week.
Very, very cool. Well,
yay,
unless anybody has anything
I'm
else.
I'm reading cats. I'm on tour next week for 3 days. I'm going to be doing cat behavior and reading about cats that are alive and crossed over.
Wonderful.
So I hope to listen, but I probably will be right. Yeah, I probably will be
That's
packing
okay.
up, so.
That's okay. You can catch the show on the replay, sister. You can download it.
Yay! Well, welcome, Maria. We appreciate you coming out. You're part of our team, and it's great to have you part of the family.
Oh, thank you. I'm tickled to death to be here. But everybody needs to go out and look at the lunar eclipse that's happening right now.
And, listen to her again. Like I said, this coming Wednesday, Portals to Enlightenment, listen to us on any podcast, whether, like I said, it's Amazon, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, all these other major podcasts. So, she'll listen to her and her expertise in finances, and it's great to have her back. So,
absolutely. Well, with that, I guess we'll bid everybody adieu. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. For Eric Mitchell on Paranormal Horizons. Hope everybody has a safe and wonderful week. And Sherry, you're going to call me on that big spy machine called Facebook, right?
I guess so, yeah. I plan on it.
Okay. I'll talk to you.
Well, everybody, for listening to us and supporting us, we all appreciate you.
Absolutely. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Take care. Peace, everybody.